You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined today by Harrison Fagan. He is getting a much-needed day off to learn to man up. More on that. Well, I don't know if there's more on that in a bit. You'll find out. As always, find today's show and all the shows on Megaphone, Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders, as well as Spotify and Alexa. Today's show is going to be a fun one. I recorded a conversation with Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors, and that was a fun one. It kind of went all over the place. We talked about where both the Lakers and Raptors organizations currently are and what they have to do with each other in terms of comparison. We talked a little bit about the LeBron stuff. There is some D'Angelo Russell trade stuff, though I try to keep that brief as possible. And we just kind of had a conversation about basketball, and we did that last year. It was a really popular episode, so we did it again this year, and we'll probably do it again when the Lakers and the Raptors meet. As a reminder, the Lakers play the Raptors by the time everybody is listening to this tonight. So I reached out to Twitter, and I asked for a couple questions to get this show started and get us through the A block and into the B block where the conversation with Sean takes place. The first question I got is, am I warming to Brandon Ingram? It's from at Asian Juggernaut. That's Matthew Ong. And he says, like, again, are you warming up to B.I.? It's, all right, I'll try to set the record straight here. I'm still concerned because I feel like a lot of his recent success has to do with a bunch of shots that he shouldn't necessarily be taking right now or that are going in. And, you know, my one hope is that as those shots maybe don't fall, he continues to impact the game in ways other than scoring as he did last night with those 10 boards. So I think I feel better, a little bit better about Brandon Ingram. I'm cautiously optimistic is how I would probably sum that up. This is the note that I always add to these things. If I don't necessarily think a player is going to be special or is going to be great or even is going to be good, that doesn't mean I'm not pulling for that kid's success. I'll talk about that later with Sean Woodley in a conversation about draft and basketball analysis. Look, Ingram is a pivotal piece for the Lakers' overall development, not just on this roster, but as an organization. The Lakers need to prove that they can develop young kids because to this point, they really haven't. So I'm pulling for Brandon Ingram. I'm happy about the last few games in which he's played pretty solid basketball, and I hope that continues. I'll take another question here. This is from Internet Fiend. The real Brad G, I think it is. Is D'Angelo Russell a sandwich? I'm going to come up with a clever way to answer this. He's obviously not in the traditional sense, but he was sandwiched between two eras, and it is too bad that he was because he was a part of the end of the Kobe Bryant era, and his rookie year was masked by that masquerade and that farewell tour. And he's also kind of the bookend to the Lonzo Ball era in Los Angeles. And it's too bad that that's the case. I think the D'Angelo Russell Lonzo Ball era would have been a lot of fun. I don't know about the asset management that the Lakers underwent in getting rid of D'Angelo Russell, but I'm not going to keep talking about that. I'm going to answer the question, and I'm going to move on. Let's see. What did I think of the Leviathan raid? Sure, why not? I tried playing it once. I didn't have enough time to get around to it fully, And I really enjoyed it while I was playing it. And Destiny 2 has been a lot of fun. And my wife wishes that I would stop playing it. But it was a fun raid. I kind of like to move on to a new raid. But that's probably going to take quite a while. Last question here before we move on to the conversation with Sean. This comes from at Waka Flocka Len. Your guys' ads are hilarious to me. They're tremendous. Is it crazy to think Lonzo could break Scott Skiles' single-game assist record? Yes. With this roster, I think it is. Because at the end of the day, in order for an assist to take place, you need finishers on the other end. And while I think Brook Lopez is a fairly skilled finisher, he doesn't necessarily help in the assist department because he's shooting a spot-up three-pointer, which doesn't usually bode well if you're relying on that for your own assists, because it usually comes off of a hockey assist. And on top of that, if he's scoring in the under the basket, he relies on pump fakes, so then you got to get the statisticians involved and hope that they give a little bit of leeway to Lonzo, some home cooking there. But moving forward in Lonzo Ball's career, I think it's possible. I think it's possible that if he has the right guys around him, if the Lakers get better, he can absolutely challenge any kind of assist record because of the way he approaches the game. And I would love to play basketball with Lonzo Ball. I think that's been kind of overlooked. It's funny, NBA Twitter loves to talk about Steve Nash and how great he was and how fun he would have been to play with. But Lonzo Ball plays a very similar fashion. He has a very similar mindset as Steve Nash did. He's just not nearly as good as Nash was yet. So, yeah, I think Lonzo, by the end of his career, I would not bet against him setting an assist record. All right, let's go ahead and get to this conversation with Sean. It was a really fun one. It'll send you off into the weekend. I'm Anthony Irwin, and enjoy this one. Have a good one.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Harrison is busy trying to learn how to man up, so it's just us for tonight.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We talked like a year ago, I think, maybe 11 months ago when the Raptors played the Lakers last, and I thought it was a good chat. It was kind of an interesting kind of dive into fandom and the mentality you have for a season. And I remember this time last year, you seemed like kind of resigned to the fact that, yes, the Lakers started off pretty well, but you seemed pretty realistic about their expectations. They're 2-2 now. There has been some good. There's been some bad. Lonzo Ball is both the best player on earth and the worst player on earth. I guess let's start with Lonzo, I suppose. It's so hard to say, like, whether or not he's lived up to expectations through four games, because it's four games and it's stupid to try to do that. But thoughts on Lonzo so far? Is like, honestly, I think the Lakers are one of the few teams that I've watched maybe a half a game of so far this season, where I just they just never come up on League Pass for me. So maybe just give the Raptors fans a little bit of a sort of Cole's notes on how Lonzo's been so far, I suppose.
So I'm not going to put it against expectations, because expectations for Lonzo Ball were always ridiculous. People were talking about transcendent talent, the next Magic Johnson, the next Jason Kidd, the next Jesus Christ. It's just all over the place with Lonzo, especially if you're listening to LeVar. But for me, what I've wanted to see from his game, I have. I mean, his passing ability has lived up to the bill. He looks at the game in a way that I would like my point guard in the NBA to look at the game. He's a facilitator first, and then he kind of, picks in, a little too conservatively for my liking as of right now, but he picks his spots to attack for himself personally, and, he just kind of lets the game come to him. So for a rookie, I guess that's all you can really hope for, especially a rookie point guard who, I mean, you have Kyle Lowry on your team. It takes NBA point guards a little bit longer than other positions to figure things out. Fortunately for Toronto, Kyle Lowry figured things out after he left Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Lonzo is fun, man. The one little stretch of the – I think it was the Pelicans game I watched, actually, where they almost came back. And Lonzo didn't really figure all that much into the comeback there. Mm-mm. Mostly Jordan Clarkson inexplicably doing things, and Kyle Kuzma. And I guess we can talk about Kuzma in a bit. But no, Lonzo seems like a lot of fun, and I wish people would stop just With all the rookies, really, it feels like everyone's kind of already painted each rookie as what they think they're going to be. Like, and everyone, I sort of, that's like a maybe a straw man, I don't know, but it seems like a lot of the conversations, like, oh yeah, Markelle Fultz is like already worse than Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum's already a monster, and De'Aaron Fox is already incredible, and like Lonzo Ball is whatever the hell Lonzo Ball is. It's like, just chill, man. We're like 4 games in. It's fun. Just appreciate the rookies when they do cool things and understand them when they don't do good things. It's like it's a learning experience.
You have to take all of those takes with a mountain of salt because a lot of it has to do with what they wanted that player to be in the first place. Like out here in LA, people wanted Jason Tatum to fail because he's a Celtic. So people out here, I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. I don't really like the way he shoots. I think he does other things on the court for pretty well, but you know, he's okay. He's an okay rookie. Just like people out there in Boston are probably looking at Lonzo and saying, "God, look at that shot. There's no way that's ever going to go in." And it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy to a certain extent, or a confirmation bias with all of these guys. And I tweeted this out last night. One of the most annoying things that I find in all of analysis, especially when it comes to young guys, is people are so obsessed with being right with their predictions that they actually start rooting against success from any of these young guys. And like, I can't get myself to go there. I can't get myself. I obviously hope that I'm right. I don't want these, you know, I don't want the wrongs to start stacking up against the rights. But at the end of the day, if I don't think, for example, I'm not really too positive about Ingram, but if it turns out that I'm wrong about Ingram and the Lakers wind up having a really good player, then awesome. Great. That's cool. But for some reason, I kind of look around, and when people start talking about young guys, I just kind of go back to what they said about that player before they were drafted, and their current take starts to make a little bit more sense.
Look, man, not every rookie is OG Anunoby. They're going to take time to become a superstar. And OG's already there, and it's fine for the other guys to be playing catch up. It's okay.
He has the
Yeah.
best name I've ever heard. OG. Like, he's the
Oh,
real OG. It's unbelievable.
it's so good for writing and for the broadcast. It's fantastic. The public address guy at the Raptors games, Herbie Kuhn, is still kind of trying to figure out exactly how to say it, but he has that problem with most players, so he'll get there eventually, maybe. Kyle Kuzma, what's going on with this dude? Honestly, there was a part of me that thought the Raptors were going to take him because they just take Utah guys, and I was expecting him to join forces with DeLon Wright and Jakob Poeltl this season. Instead, they took OG, of course, because he fell. But Kyle Kuzma, man, like, that was a pick they got in the D'Angelo Russell trade, and I'm sure that probably doesn't. And we can talk about Russell if you want. I know you are particularly upset about what's going on with Russell and how that whole thing was handled. But like, Kuzma, is he like, I don't know. Do you think he's real? And yeah, 4 games in, so this is dumb to be even talking about. But like, I don't know. It's got to be at least like a nice little bonus to have a second round pick, or sorry, late first round pick, who's like kind of looking like a real NBA player, whereas, you know, sometimes guys get drafted in the first round and they just don't look like anything right away. So Kuzma's still ahead of the curve a little bit there. And like, Raptors fans kind of know, like, having a guy who kind of pops unexpectedly in Norman Powell,
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's
that's
what I was
fun,
thinking.
man. That was great. And you want to sort of root for that guy to succeed. And maybe Norm will or won't live up to expectations, but it's really fun when he kind of, you know, goes ahead of what you would expect in his first season. And Kuzma's doing that right now.
I want to just say I was on the Norman Powell train because he went to UCLA and I really liked him at UCLA, and then he got to the NBA and he kind of started becoming like a cult hero among NBA Twitter, and then I think he just got paid, right? So
You did, yeah.
yeah, so like I was kind of a it was kind of a fist pump moment. But yeah, with Kuzma, the Lakers had a guy, Anthony Brown, who was taken in the late first round and never figured it out, ever. Never came close to figuring it out. And on either side of the court, he was supposed to be a 3-and-D guy. He wasn't expected to do much, and yet he still fell short of those expectations. Kuzma came in and had zero expectations. It's hard for me to really lump him in with the D'Angelo Russell trade because the Lakers had the pick, I believe, right after they actually took him with. So unless you think that somebody was going to slide in and take him, the pick immediately before the Lakers,
maybe, you know, I guess there's a scenario in which that plays out. But at the time, a lot of people thought that the Lakers were reaching on this guy. And I'll say this. I'm still, just like I was last year with early season success that the Lakers had, I was just kind of like waiting for things to regress to the mean. I'll say this about Kuzma, though. He's done things and added things to his game over the short period that we've watched him out here in LA, and that's really rare for me. He came into summer league and he was just a rim runner and gunner, basically. And then in preseason he was doing a lot more off of the dribble. Now in the regular season he's doing a lot more on the boards and on the defensive side of things, that he's not looking completely lost all the time. So he's just gradually getting better, and I don't think you can really expect much more out of a player who succeeded the way he did in summer league and then continued to add stuff to his game the way he has. I think if he goes top 10, he'd be getting rookie of the year buzz already. And a lot of this has to do with going 27th.
How many is Kuzma better than Lonzo Ball's takes? Lonzo Ball's takes have been written so far.
I don't really see it much out here from Lakers Twitter, but I do see it from a lot of the people who don't really want Lonzo Ball to succeed. Like we talked about earlier, if people didn't like Lonzo Ball coming into the draft, or people don't like LeVar Ball, those are the ones who you start hearing like, hey, Kuzma's actually shown more. He's 3 years older, and people tend to forget that, but still he's somehow this a higher prospect than Lonzo. It's this weird either-or thing that goes on. I mean, you kind of get it out there with Toronto, where, yes, Toronto has had this fun run, and they've struggled in the playoffs, but that doesn't mean that this run is no any less fun. They've had a cool run out there, and instead of saying that both things can be true, that this can be one of the most fun stretches in Toronto Raptors history, and it can also be true that it's frustrating that the way that they play in the playoffs, those two things aren't mutually exclusive. It's just a matter of putting those things into proper perspective. So I think Lonzo Ball can be really good, and Ben Simmons can be really good, and Kyle Kuzma can be really good. That's the best case scenario for the NBA anyway.
That's a bold statement there, Anthony. I don't know if that's true. I think only one can be good. It can only be one good player.
Isn't that like a – I think that's like a phrase from a movie, right? There can only be one.
I don't. Probably a bad movie. Not a very nuanced movie.
Not a nuanced movie at all. I'm curious, though, about Toronto, because
– Yeah.
So – the Lakers are in this – they've kind of been in a rut, and it looks like they're on the way up. I mean, they have to be, considering the depths that the franchise got to. But Toronto, the Raptors kind of feel like on the other end of that spectrum, where I don't want to say that they've necessarily plateaued. I'd like to see them with a full year of Ibaka, and I'd like to see as they progress and DeMar DeRozan start shooting more threes. I think that's been a thing early on this year. Do you get that same sense? Is this the precipice, or is this the beginning of the decline, or do you think there's still another level that they can reach?
I think this is kind of a weird season because they kind of hit reset on everything over the offseason, like set up this new 3-year window by signing Ibaka and Lowry to 3-year deals, and DeRozan signed up for another 4 years beyond, or 3 years beyond this one. And, like, it kind of hit reset because now you're not worried about dudes leaving at the end of the year. You're not worried totally about, like, getting as far as you can in the playoffs because that threat isn't there. Like, the future of the team doesn't really hinge on whether or not the Raptors make it to the second or third round this season. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing that way. And I also think, you know, while, like, Patrick Patterson and P.J. Tucker and Corey Joseph and, to a much lesser extent, Damari Carroll, while they were like useful players for the Raptors, I think the upside might be a little higher now in terms of what they can do over the course of this window now, because they don't have those guys who you kind of know what they are, but they have a bunch of young dudes who so far this season have flashed a lot of really promising signs. And again, it's 4 games in, so who's to say if OG Anunoby is going to be anything in his rookie season on the whole, but so far the returns have been pretty nice, and he looks, you know, he wasn't even supposed to play until December. let alone be like part of the rotation in you know mid-October. So the returns have been really nice so far. And even if this season isn't quite as I've kind of looked at this season as more of like a transition year where they can be good and also develop young dudes at the same mm-hmm. time. Like, it's not a problem, especially in the Eastern Conference, which is just total ass. But like, I think they're kind of setting themselves up where if everyone kind of coalesces at the by the end of this season, you can go into next year with like a realistic expectation that could be like the best Raptors team of this era, because you'll have the young guys 1 year further along, and you'll have Ibaka, Lowry, and DeRozan still presumably in their primes or close to it. So like, while I think that conference final run a couple years ago was like the peak they've reached so far, and last year was a bit of a step down, and this season could be as well, I still think there's a chance for like another peak within this era, because Masai Ujiri's done a really damn good job
keeping
sort of both fires going at the same time, like being good and also developing young guys and really committing to it. And I think it was smart that they didn't give all the money. I mean, they tried to bring back PJ Tucker, but ultimately I think that's going to be good in the long run, because you know, not having PJ Tucker means that OG has to play, and he's, you know, getting thrown into the fire and learning on the fly and playing, you know, important minutes against the Warriors on Wednesday night, for example. And like with PJ Tucker, you probably wouldn't get that. And it's nice sort of having this season where the expectations don't quite feel as high, although I think they kind of maybe had the goalpost moved on them a little bit when Hayward got hurt, because maybe there's like a more of an opening to make a conference finals or whatever, or be that team that could potentially sort of give a fake challenge to LeBron and lose in five games in the conference finals. But even then, I think the expectations are lower this season. I think people are much higher on like the Wizards and Bucks than they are on the Raptors. So if this season ends in a second round loss, like, I think that's totally fine, and you could look at next season as like the real go all in season with this core and the collection of young dudes they have. And then who knows? Maybe one of these guys really pops, and maybe OG becomes like a pseudo star in the next couple of years, or maybe DeLon Wright becomes a guy who should be starting on some team somewhere, but is still your backup, and you're playing him a bunch of minutes with Lowry and whatnot. And I don't know. It's there's a lot of possibilities, and it's probably going to be end up somewhere in between of like a sort of a same kind of feel the last couple of seasons and something better. But I don't know, it's a promising and sort of fun team to be following right now, because you're not really exactly sure where the peak is going to end up being.
I kind of think this is where professional sports are going, where the all in, it's really rare that a team will go 100% all in. Like, you're even seeing it with the Warriors, who have more of a reason to be all in right now than anybody, seeing as they are probably the best basketball team ever assembled. And yet they're still purchasing guys like Jordan Bell, and they're still trying to bring another kid from UCLA who I'm blanking on right now. Kevon Looney, who they're trying to inject youth into an already stellar roster. The Celtics are doing it out there in Boston, where they have a whole slew of young guys who they were going to pair with. Unfortunately, now that it's not going to happen because Hayward's ankle is facing two different directions. But it's but that's kind of where professional sports are going. Right now out here in L.A., I don't know how much of a baseball guy you are, but like the Dodgers are saying, they're starting a rookie at first base. They have a second-year player at shortstop. Puig is only in his fourth year in right field. And they have all these contracts coming off of the books. So they're in the World Series right now, and the thinking is that they can now contend not just right now, but moving forward to the future. And I think it's kind of exciting that more front offices are thinking this way, because there's always novelty. Whereas I think right now, like you just mentioned a second ago, that some people have the Wizards in Milwaukee ahead of the Raptors in their rankings of potential with teams in the Eastern Conference. And I don't really necessarily agree. I think they're all kind of even with each other. It's just that the Raptors aren't new. There's no real novelty to the Raptors. So people are anxious for some kind of mix-up. People are waiting for Giannis to make this jump. And he has. He's tremendous. But I don't know if Milwaukee as an organization is ready to take that leap with him. And I guess to get to this long-winded point, I think the Raptors are doing this 100% correctly. And I wish Magic would look at it the same way versus sending D'Angelo Russell out at a chance for signing LeBron James when he's 35 years old with more miles than anybody who's ever played the game.
Yeah, that the whole thing is fascinating to me. And so when we talked last year, you seemed like pretty, I don't know, you were pretty up on Russell, I think. The rest of the young guys, I think you were kind of sort of lukewarm on, and Ingram, it seems like you still kind of are. And I would say Lonzo probably would replace Russell for me as like a guy that I think is probably like a sure thing. He'll be like a good player, mm-hmm. at the very least, it seems like, on that team. But other than that, it's hard to really pencil in anyone for like guaranteed success. I don't know, how's your mindset as a fan now, a year later? Does this whole LeBron and like free agency stuff with like Paul George and whatnot, does that give you more hope, or is it kind of a pipe dream that you're looking at it as? And like, because it does make very little sense in terms of why LeBron would go west, why you would go west to play with a team that has been bad for a long time and doesn't have, like I said, doesn't have a lot of like sure thing talents. It's not like he's going to a team with Kyrie Irving and then a number one overall pick that they could trade for Kevin Love. Like, it's a little bit more bereft of talent than that Cleveland team was. And he's older at this point, so like, why would he, like, it seems like a step back for him in terms of roster, and it makes it more difficult for him. I know there's the business interest, and maybe he just doesn't care about titles anymore. I find that very hard to believe, but maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's the case. Maybe he just wants to be a businessman. Who knows? But where's your head at in terms of like the direction of the franchise now versus a year ago?
So I think it's a pipe dream. First and foremost, like I have to start it that way. I think that the LeBron stuff is a pipe dream, and that's why I'm so down on the D'Angelo Russell trade. I also think like the issue for me with the D'Angelo Russell trade, and people are rolling their eyes listening to this podcast right now because I bring up Russell so often, but it's it's, you could make that move when you have to clear up space. Once you get the go-ahead from LeBron that, yes, I want to come to Los Angeles, but I'm only going to do so if you open up enough space for me to bring a Paul George or a Boogie Cousins with me, right? And so once you get that go-ahead, once you get that email from his agents and his representatives, now, all right, now you get going on clearing out as much space as you possibly can because you know you have that coming. Whereas right now, unless the Lakers have done more tampering than even the Indiana Pacers think that they did, they don't know that. There's no way to know that. And if this, you know, Russell has played really freaking well over the course of this early season. And if you traded away a potential, I don't know, I'm not going to call him a blue chipper quite yet because I think he still has some questions. But if you're going to trade away maybe a 4-star, a 4 out of 5-star player, and get nothing but 1 year of Brook Lopez in return, I think you really got to question what's going on there. And if they're doing that with the sole focus being getting LeBron and they don't get LeBron, then it was unmitigated failure. And honestly, those people who made that decision deserve to maybe have the seat underneath them get a little hot.
Yeah, I kind of agree with everything you said there. It just doesn't make sense logically for why LeBron would want to go there. So the fact that they seem to be lining themselves up, it feels like a lot like the Knicks, what the first time LeBron moved, where mm-hmm. it seemed like they were just trying to, you know, set themselves up and sort of just counting on their, you know, cachet as an organization to get the deal done. That's just not how it works, man. Like, dudes want to go where they're going to win, and like I don't really see it taking place. So yeah, the Russell thing. Because of that, it rubs me the wrong way too. And the fact that Russell's been so good so far this season, I mean, yeah, you're right, he does have some issues and things to work out, but you know, it's been really fun to watch him flourish this season.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I'll say this about LeBron. I think the only person who was flat out objectively wrong in predicting what LeBron might do this next summer is the person who is hardlining, thinking that they know what he's going to do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do quite yet. And I agree with you that like going to the Lakers doesn't make a bunch of sense for him if he wants to continue contending for titles. And I know he wants to continue contending for titles because that's the point of the whole damn thing. But all that said, if he thinks, you know, if he wants to go out and unite the Banana Boat crew out here in L.A., and the Lakers can clear out enough space for him to do that so he can just kind of have fun in the twilight of his career, then that's on him. That's his personal choice, and it's on the Lakers to try to make it happen. I just don't know if that's what's actually best for the organization moving forward. Because like we just talked about, everybody else is trying to win now and also build for the future. And if you go 100% in on uniting the Banana Boat crew, you are completely crapping on your future years down the line.
Yeah, you're not really doing either of those things.
No.
Because circumstances in the West and with the Warriors. That's Yeah, it's interesting. That's why I kind of like what the Raptors have done. Even though the Raptors don't have like the flexibility to go out and sign somebody, the Raptors aren't like a traditional destination anyway, although I think their perception is kind of changing. I'm okay, you know, not having a lot of flexibility in order to have like a stable and good team locked in. And then you can figure it out as you go. And like, they have a bunch of young dudes and assets that they can potentially trade for something. They have a lot more pivot ability, I think, than the Lakers do at this point. So it's interesting. Before we go, I guess maybe we should predict the game tonight that we haven't previewed whatsoever. Raptors are 6-point favorites. So they've lost two in a row against the Spurs and Warriors. They have to think they'll enjoy going up against the Lakers defense after what they did the last two games. But what do you got in this matchup with the Raptors favored by 6?
So I think the Lakers will cover, because that's one thing the Lakers have kind of done all season. Even when they get way down, they kind of claw back into it and they make a game out of it. And these young guys really like playing with each other, so it makes it easier for them to play hard and kind of play up to the competition. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Lakers don't have anybody nearly as good as Kyle Lowry on their team. They don't probably have anybody nearly as good as DeMar DeRozan. I think Brook Lopez and Ibaka are maybe about a wash at this point in both of their careers. So I would obviously take Toronto, but I don't think it'll be any kind of blowout. I actually really like the matchup. I think it'll be a really fun game. Both teams kind of match up interestingly with each other. So I'd take Toronto, and I would probably – the Lakers just played really well defensively, which means they're due to give up like 150 points. So it'll be like 115 to like 108 or 109 or something like that.
All right, yeah. It's been four games of Kyle Lowry not looking so hot and not shooting very well, although in the second half against the Warriors, you can see things kind of coming together a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to just predict one of those Kyle Lowry FU games where he goes for like 35 and like 8 and shoots like 6 of 10 from 3. And I'm feeling a blowout after the last two games for the Raptors. They've looked pretty good against both the Spurs and Warriors, but obviously the Spurs and Warriors are very good at defense and good late in games and are just good in general, and they ended up losing. So I'm going to say the Raptors like win this by like 10 maybe, but maybe it's like a 10 that was like 20 for most of the game kind of thing. But I don't know. I'm a homer, so who the hell knows? Could be totally wrong. Lonzo Ball, Mr. Ray, Kyle Lowry. Without Jonas Valanciunas, maybe Brook Lopez goes off. Although Brook usually demolishes Valanciunas, so that might end up working in the Raptors' favor if he doesn't play. But this will be fun, and this was fun. Anthony, thanks for coming on, man. This was a good chat to cross over the network. Make sure you're subscribing to Locked On Lakers and Locked On Raptors and reading LockedOnRaptors.com. I'm not sure if you guys are doing written stuff from Locked On Lakers just yet, but if you are, do you have anything to plug or anything like that?
No, not too much.
people are using these sites differently, and everyone has different commitments, right? So I don't really know what everyone's doing with these new FanRag sites, but they're cool either way.
Yeah, it looks cool, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's rad. I use the word rad. I don't know why.
We should end it before we go back to the 90s.
Yeah, that was not very rad of me. All right, man, this was fun. Next time the Raptors and Lakers play, we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. Have a good one, man.